for the past few weeks, we've been following David and his adventures in the Old Testament. And so I thought this week it might be fun to check on Jesus and the disciples and see what they've been into. In our story this morning, we'll find them out on the road, where we often find Jesus and his disciples with a pretty miraculous healing story. So let us hear now from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 34. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On a study abroad trip in college, I went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. This church is the site that contains, according to our Christian tradition, the place where Jesus was crucified and his tomb where he was buried and resurrected. Now, I know some of y'all have been there and have been there recently, so maybe you can affirm my experiences. When I was there, I don't remember having a sacred spiritual experience. I remember it being very hot and really, really, really crowded. For someone who gets a little overwhelmed in crowds as it is, this was not a pleasant space for me to be in. I'm a little short, and I don't like the idea of getting lost, which is exactly how I felt that day. As we walked towards the tomb, I remember people pushing me out of the way. People were crowding and standing right on top of each other as if there was some sort of competition to be the person closest to Jesus. I was taken aback by the lack of concern that we had for each other. I felt we were all a little self-absorbed, maybe selfish. I was just another face in the crowd, unseen by all the distraction and commotion of getting as close as possible to these holy sites. I felt invisible. I know we are in ordinary time, but once again we meet Jesus in some extraordinary circumstances. He's just crossed the sea after his healing encounter with the Gerasene demoniac and the calming of the storm when he meets Jairus, a leader in the synagogue, a man of stature and importance, a father whose daughter is dying. He comes to Jesus with a sense of urgency. There's no time to waste, and he begs Jesus to come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. So they head out on the road together, and so does apparently everyone else in the town. I'm overwhelmed just thinking about this crowd following Jesus. Just picture hundreds of people gathering around, pressing in on him and touching him. It might be like Taylor Swift on the red carpet with all those screaming fans trying to get close enough for an autograph and a selfie. Then Mark tells us that in this crowd is a woman. She has no name, but she has an illness. For 12 years, she has suffered from hemorrhages. For 12 years, she has suffered from an uncontrollable, continuous flow of blood from her body. She has gone to every doctor around, spent all of her money on healthcare, and not only has she not gotten better, her condition has gotten worse. Within this story are not only the realities of illness, but also the realities of isolation and social alienation. In Jesus' world, a woman with a condition like this would have been a social outcast. And one of the first things I notice in this text is that in this large crowd of people, she goes completely unnoticed by everyone. Well, not everyone. She has heard of Jesus, and desperate for healing, she forces her way through the crowd, "For if I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." And she reaches out and she touches his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stops. And immediately Jesus becomes aware that his power has flowed from him. And Jesus stops. Despite the urgency to visit Jairus' daughter, and he asks, "Who touched me?" And the disciples respond pretty reasonably, I think, "Dude, who hasn't touched you?" That isn't enough for Jesus. He wants to see this person's face. He wants to look around to see who touched him, and the woman, knowing what had happened to her, falls down before him in fear and trembling to tell the truth. But Jesus does not respond in anger. He does not admonish her for being unclean and touching him. He instead names her the same name given to the person Jairus has asked Jesus to heal, daughter. Every time I read this story, the crowd stands out to me. All of these people, so insistent on being as close as they can to Jesus, they ignore the realities of the world around them. They become so focused that they risk the possibility of missing something. If you've ever seen the TV show The Office, you might remember the episode where the main character Michael Scott goes to New York City for a day. He's standing in crowded Times Square talking to the camera when he thinks he sees Tina Fey from Saturday Night Live walk by. So in typical Michael Scott fashion, of course, he chases her down the street and then to his disappointment realizes that it wasn't Tina Fey. But then he has another realization. Michael, who was so focused on meeting Tina Fey, misses Conan O'Brien walking right next to him. Sometimes the last thing we want to do is pay attention. We either want to see what we want to see, or we don't have time to see any more than what is right in front of us. Our lives are full already. There are bills to pay and errands to run, laundry to do, mission trips to finish planning. And oftentimes we don't want to see. We don't want to see the images of families being separated. We don't want to see the kid in your class who's worn the same clothes every day for a week. We don't want to see the woman who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years. But I think that is the challenge Mark's gospel offers us this morning. This story of Jesus and the hemorrhaging woman raises questions of who or what claims our time and attention. The miracle in this story may not necessarily be that Jesus heals, but that Jesus sees. Buried in this tale is a flash of intimacy between two people who are socially very distant from each other. Their scandalous touch, however, does not yield anger. Rather, Jesus stops. He slows down, and he pays attention to the unnamed woman in the crowd. It is in this touch, in this effort to see a face, in this relationship, that the story reveals to us the possibilities of wholeness, of healing, of peace. We are without a doubt shaped and made whole in our community and our relationships to other people. Mark reminds us that being close to God means being close to those who are invisible. It means taking the time to see and know others and recognizing that healing comes in relationship and as we make space for it. So how then do we take the time to see the glimpses of God that are right in front of us? In her book, Small Things with Great Love, Adventures in Loving Your Neighbor, Margot Starbuck tells this story. A guy named Hugh met with a local church in North Carolina that was filled with very well-meaning people. But he challenged them. He challenged them to consider investing in a relationship that crossed boundaries of shelter and race and religion and income and class. And one guy there named Chuck was inspired by this vision. Chuck bought into the big idea of Christians loving people who live on the margins, but at the same time, he wanted Hugh to know what his life was like. "I commute at least 1 hour each way to my job," explained Chuck. "I work at Research Triangle Park. I love what I do, and I work hard at it." the one day a week that I have with my family, the last thing I want to do is go to the park and meet homeless people. Hugh thought for a moment and then asked Chuck, "Do you have an office?" "Yes," Chuck replied, not sure where this was heading. So Hugh continued, "Is there someone who cleans your office?" "Yes," Chuck carefully answered again. "There's a woman who cleans my office 3, maybe 4 times a week." "What's her name?" Hugh asked. "I don't know her name," Chuck admitted. So Hugh pressed, "How long has she been cleaning your office?" 7, maybe 8 years. By that point, he was beginning to catch on. Several weeks later, Hugh answered his ringing phone and heard a voice blurt out, "Her name is Regina." Chuck had taken the time to meet the woman who cleaned his office, and he had learned Regina was working 2 jobs to provide for her children. "You know this has messed me up, right?" Chuck told Hugh. By messed up, he meant that being in relationship with Regina had sort of ruffled the comfortable, insulated life he'd been enjoying. And so, smiling to himself, Hugh acknowledged, "I know." We aren't being asked to fix everything, but to engage the world and all that makes it up. We're being asked to pay attention, to ask our neighbors how they are doing with the intent to actually listen, to open our eyes to see the faces in the crowd that is around us, and as a result, risk being changed by what we see. This is a challenge. But even in my short time here, it is abundantly clear that Heart of the Rockies Christian Church is a community that takes the challenge of the gospel with a spirit of hope and excitement. We were looking for Jesus at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre that day, but we were looking in the wrong place. We were distracted. We were distracted by our hopes that maybe we could shortcut the line to experience the sight of resurrection. In a world of distraction, of competition, of brokenness, these ordinary stories of Jesus always seem to shake things up. Here we are reminded that resurrection is lived out in ordinary time and in our ordinary relationships. It is in relationship we are made whole. It is in our paying attention to each other that we are restored, that we find peace and healing. It is in our seeing the faces in the crowd and making room at the table, in our openness to these ordinary moments, that we begin to experience the fullness of God's love. Amen.